In every generation, there are the chosen ones, the fanboys, the observers, the keepers of useless trivia. They alone must stand against the forces of television drama tropes. They are continuous play.
It's about power. Who's got it? Who knows how to use it? So, what do you guys want to do tomorrow?
Nothing strenuous.
Well, I'm in the office, always the first thing that comes to mind.
I think you could do better than that.
I was thinking about shopping, as per usual.
Oh, there's an R&B in the new mall.
I think there's a few items.
Well, we can discuss it. Save the world, go to the mall.
I'm having a wicked shoe craving.
Aren't you on the patch?
Those never work. And
here I am, invisible to the eye.
See, I need a new look. It's this whole eye patch thing.
The Earth is definitely doomed.
Welcome to Continuous Plays, The Art of Slaying, a Buffy the Vampire Slayer retrospective featuring Brian Thomas.
But I've known you were coming, I baked the cake.
And Jay Newcastle.
Are you ready to finish this?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer is the copyright of Fox Television Studios, and any discussion of the characters, episodes, or music is strictly for entertainment purposes only.
Welcome to The Art of Slaying, a Buffy the Vampire Slayer retrospective. I'm Jay.
And I'm Brian.
We're here to talk about Season 7, Episode 13, The Killer in Me, written by Drew Greenberg. After sharing a lingering kiss with potential Slayer Kennedy, Willow transforms into Warren as a mysterious spell hits. Meanwhile, Giles has taken the potentials to the desert to meet the first Slayer, but the gang get word that Giles may be an agent of the first and race to intervene. Xander and others arrive to learn that Giles is indeed himself. Spike's chip begins to malfunction, and he and Buffy take a trip of their own to the Initiative. It's still buried underground, apparently, and not totally concreted in. So they meet up with a few remaining soldiers who give her a choice of either repairing or removing the chip. Buffy decides to have it removed, freeing Spike from the control of the Initiative about three seasons too late. Kennedy finds the source of the spell that is turning Willow into Warren and comes from Amy, our old friend Amy, who was jealous of Willow's abilities and the fact that she remained loved even after she killed Warren. Kennedy is teleported back to the Summers home where Willow Warren is reenacting the fatal scene from Tara's death and is able to intervene. Willow explains when Kennedy kissed her, she let go of Tara's memory for just a moment, making her death final for Willow. Kennedy explains about the hex, and when she kissed Willow again, the spell ends and the two walk inside together. And that is the plot summary for The Killer in Me. Brian, we've been teasing it a while back, the Kennedy long looks at Willow, all that stuff. Now we're going to have a whole episode that's pretty well dedicated to that.
We are, and you said it. They've been flirting with this whole time. Kennedy's actions and words and flirtations with Willow and all that are finally coming to a head. And guess what? We're going to have a new relationship for Willow, and it's bound to happen, guys. And there's a huge, huge backlash to this in the Buffy fandom when it actually happened. And even still to this day, there's people who just are so disgusted by the fact that they would allow Willow to have another relationship with especially Kennedy after everything that went on with Tara. But I gotta say this, Jay, get over it. People have to move on, and I don't have a single problem with the fact that this happens. I don't know about you, but it doesn't bother me one bit.
I think I'm fine with it. The part of it is I don't really care for the Kennedy character.
Sure.
So it's that's what I react to, that I'm like, yeah, I don't really like her. But the fact that Willow is moving on and needs to move on, I think,
yes,
too, that, you know, they were never able to convince Amber Benson to come back and do any guest spots as the, you know, the former death of herself or any of that kind of stuff for other episodes. And I like that. I like that, you know, when she died for real. Mm-hmm. And that was it. You know, she was done. And I don't know that, you know, they haven't stuck with that on anybody else really that mattered.
True.
On
True.
The show. And besides, well, even Joyce has come back as a ghost a few times mm-hmm. now. So yeah, I like that they're kind of keeping the, dare I say, the purity of that in. You know, she got shot in the back and died. That's, you know, it was terrible and tragic, and we've dealt with it, and it's time for Willow to start picking up and moving on. And really, let's think about part of Willow's problems here, man. She is scared to death to do anything that she's good at doing, right? She's scared to use magic. She's scared to, you know, put herself back out there emotionally for anybody. She's just scared to be herself, and it's high time that she started living again.
And absolutely.
It's going to take somebody who's incredibly strong-willed to get her to do it. So in that respect, I see why they invented the Kennedy character for that.
Yeah, and let's face it too, Jay. I mean, the crux of her problems deal with her dealing with Tara's death.
Right.
And until she finally does deal with that death in a way, she's going to always have these problems. So this episode to me is the beginning of her finally dealing with Tara's death in a meaningful way, right. Moving on. I mean, she's never going to be over Tara. That's not what we're doing here, but she needs to move on from that, get rid of the guilt that she has inside of her, and also be able to move on with her magical life, because we're going to need that. I mean, I get that she's reluctant and all that, but we're going to need that. Mm-hmm. And her reluctance, a lot of it bears with the fact that what she did after Tara's death, and now she has to deal with that, and she has to deal with Tara's death at the same time and bringing that to a close. And I think that's a lot of what this episode does, is finally brings that to a close, to the point where Willow's got a new interest, a love interest, which is good. You know, everyone needs to move on at some point. And she's also now able to use the magic when she needs to. She's still a little reluctant, but she's getting to that point now. And that's good.
I like the idea that when she kisses Kennedy, she lets go of that memory. And that opens up an opportunity for her to be attacked. But also, it's because it's the first time she's really let go of Tara. She just hasn't been able to do it this whole time. So it adds some weight to what she says later on in the episode about how she just can't let it go. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we sort of understood that, but to see it is, I don't know, it's nice. I thought it was well done.
I would agree with you. I think it is nice. And it's an interesting way that they do this, I thought. I actually kind of was down with this. I mean, they're bringing Warren and Jonathan and Andrew back in this season quite a bit, actually, more than I actually remembered them doing. But have her turn into Warren, I thought, was an interesting little twist. And this is her way of dealing with what happened. And I think it was well done. I mean, the last time anyone saw Warren, he was the first, right?
Right.
So they're very suspect, and I thought that was good.
And can I tell you my one problem with that whole bit? Is the fact that it's Amy that's doing it to her. I didn't like that at all. I mean, I like the Amy character. I was ready for her to be gone. I thought we were done with that. And I was wrong. You know, she did make one last appearance here. But I didn't like that at all. I was like, the first can't do its own magic. It can do its own magic. That should have been something that, you know, the first has attacked the Slayer line, and that didn't work so well. So why wouldn't it go ahead? Well, I'm going to take out the witch. You know, well, and this is my one opportunity to do it. She opens up the door and boom, I'm going to get in her head. I would have been cool if that had been something the first tried to manifest.
Or even if the magical elements or the magical entities did this to her to kind of push her along in her recovery process, right?
Yeah. Maybe the coven, right? Had done this. Giles can reveal that at the end. Why wouldn't that happen? That would make total sense, Brian. I'm with you.
Yeah, I would have liked that too. The Amy thing was very contrived, and to be jealous because, and let's face it, she's jealous because Willow doesn't want anything to do with her.
Of course not. Why would you hang out with your old junkie buddy?
Yeah, and she's upset with that. So what does she do? She turns her into Warren. Well, I mean, come on. It's just stupid. I agree. That was dumb. However, what they did with it, I thought was very well done. I like the fact that nobody trusts that it's Willow, and even Buffy punches her at one point. And you know, the biggest one was Andrew, basically saying, you know, oh, get away from me, and all this. And the reactions are really well done. And I like that they had to go back and kind of reenact that final scene. And I thought it was very well done. And I like the ending where it took Kennedy calming her down and basically kissing her to let go of that fear, I guess, or memory, or
let go of the fear of letting go is what happened, right? That's what happened. She let go of the fear of letting go.
Yeah, and I actually dug how they did it. I thought they did a really good job at it.
Yeah, again, my complaint with it is that this was something that came from Amy. That wouldn't have been something the Amy character did. That just didn't make any sense.
Well, and what does she care?
Yeah, at this point, why does she even care anymore?
It would have made more sense if she was trying to get back at her for turning her into a rat.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Actually, she didn't even turn her into a rat. Amy did that herself, not getting her out of being a rat.
for a couple of years, yeah, right. That would have made more sense. That just seemed really forced and contrived in here. I didn't care for that at all.
Yeah.
But that main through line, I did dig, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now on to stuff that I'm just, you know, what the TF. Okay? We're going to take the potentials out to the desert because convening with that, you know, old first slayer again is always a good idea because, you know, she never tries to cut your head off or anything in your dream.
Right.
Oh, wait. What exactly is that there to prove? Is it all just the misdirect of we're supposed to wonder if Giles is, you know, really a bad guy and all this stuff? I mean, because you talk about a poorly done thing. You know, we talked about last time that the idea of Dawn being a slayer is ridiculous. They didn't play that at all. It had a good, it's a good idea. It's just not well executed.
I'm going to disagree with you. I thought they did a good job at this because let's think about this for a second here. The last time we saw Giles, an axe was this close to his head and he was about to die.
Right.
We didn't see him again until all of a sudden he shows up at the doorstep talking about potential slayers. So as far as we know, either something happened and he survived, or he is dead. So to put the doubt in there, I thought was really good. And to have him bring the slayers out in the middle of nowhere into a desert, basically, would make sense that he would do that to try and kill him off. Although if he was the first, he wouldn't be able to kill himself, but he could bring an army of some sort to do it. And so to me, I thought that was well done. I thought that they really got you thinking about it while you're watching this episode. Well, that's an interesting take, I thought. And so I didn't mind it as much. I thought it was a good deal. And I think the reason for the potentials to go out there, minus one Kennedy, who stays behind, by the way, was to do the same thing that he did with Buffy and to kind of teach her what it means to be a slayer and all that stuff. And I thought it's a journey that they would have to take eventually anyway. So why not?
Well, I guess to see that the problem with all of that is that it's undercut by the fact that Giles has had, even if Giles was the first, has had multiple opportunities to poison every one of these girls and kill them already. You know, well, I mean, he didn't have to pick up an axe and hit them to take them out another way. It's again, it's the thing of when the first can infiltrate your ranks, there's other ways to kill people besides picking up things and hitting them.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. But
I mean, that's what in the back of my mind, I'm going like, there's no way that could be because Giles has been way too close to all these people. He hasn't acted weird enough for me to start suspecting him. And to sort of heap all that on it now just didn't work for me. I just didn't buy it.
Yeah. So,
but it makes sense he'd take them out there. I mean, again, I kind of made fun of it because it never goes well when they summon that first slayer. But, you know, we're going to get back to that and bring that chick back one more time. I don't know who that actress is that plays the first slayer. You'd think I'd know at this point. But I have no idea. But we've seen a lot of her, you know. So she's done quite a bit with her time on this show through the years. So
Yeah, they keep bringing her back, so why not?
What about the comedy of Xander and everybody else chasing after Giles and they decide to tackle him and all that stuff?
Well, I thought it was good. You know, I mean, if you're going to cast some doubt, you got to do something. And having them go after him to touch him to make sure he was real, I didn't have a problem with that. I thought that was actually a good way to do it and funny and all that stuff. And Giles' reaction is pretty good, too. He's like, what's going on? What are you doing to me? And they finally realize that he's not an agent of the first or whatever, or the first. And, you know, that's good. My question is, how'd they find him? Because I didn't think that they ever knew where that desert was.
I know. I was like, well, maybe, okay, I'll retcon it for us here. You know, since they all convened that one time to kill off Adam, maybe that tapped them into some knowledge of something because that one time Xander remembered everything he had ever known about the army because he was in it for 5 minutes. And then that other one time when they all had telepathy, they decided they could have telepathy again at the right moment, I guess. I mean, that's what we're supposed to go with, I suppose. But still pretty thin, man, pretty thin. I'm with you. So that's not really even the B plot, though. I think the B plot is this stuff with Buffy and Spike and going back to the initiative. First off, the government is really slow to concrete in their former facilities. I'll just say that. Because that was the order given by General What's-His-Name at the end of season 4. Yeah. They still hadn't boarded that place up. So.
Well, is it the same place, though?
I got that it was the same place. And moreover, they've been back to it a lot of times.
Well, let's talk about how Buffy, you know, gets to the initiative. She calls this secret place that's a front and basically explains what she wants. And, of course, that gets back to Mr. Riley Finn, who then sends them out. I took it as they met her somewhere. And it wasn't the same place. I'm not 100% on that, but
my
opinion wasn't. Because from what I remember them saying is they filled that thing with concrete and it was done.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I thought it was the same place though. Maybe I misunderstood that though.
So yeah, I think it's a different place now. They probably were supposed to get rid of the initiative, but then didn't.
You brought him up. Did you wish Riley had at least made a cameo in this to do this with her?
I do.
What was Mark Lucas doing that he couldn't do that? I mean, I know he's had a career and done other stuff, but I would have really liked to have seen him come back and go, it's your choice, Buffy. You either take the thing out. But what, they bring back his sidekick?
Yeah.
Know, for that?
True. And yeah, I don't know what they were thinking either. It would have been much more powerful to have Riley be the one to give Buffy the choice. I agree. Instead of just saying that he gave her the choice. However, if he's not available, that's fine. The way they did it was fine. I like that they basically said, Hostile 17 is up to you. You're in charge of him. So you can either tell us to remove it or fix it, and we'll do whatever you say. I like that. And that's something that the government wouldn't probably do normally, right? Except for they know what Buffy is and her powers, and they know they have no chance if they try to take her.
True. So they've all had their butt kicked by her more than once.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah.
What did you make of her choice there, though? She decides we're gonna pull the chip.
I think it shows a lot of faith in Spike that she has, because he's now got the soul. I think she puts a lot of value in that, and because of the friendship that they've built, not putting aside all the sex they had, the actual friendship that they've built over this time, and the trust that she's built with him. Especially in the last episode when she saves him, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a huge moment for them. So to me, it makes sense that she would choose this. And really, in her mind, it doesn't matter either way, because it doesn't work on her anyway.
Right. It doesn't even matter. But yeah.
I like the choice she makes, and I think it makes sense that she would have it removed, because they're going to need... What if there's humans that are agents of the First, and then he can't fight them? So... Mm-hmm. Makes some sense that she would have it removed instead.
I think also, and like I sort of joked about in the plot summary there, three seasons too late, this is the writer's way of saying, yeah, we've needed to wrap this one up for a while, you know? So this is a way, at least if we're going to wrap it up, we're going to make it because Buffy chooses it.
Yeah.
All right. And as we'll learn, and we see a little bit of the end of this episode, but we'll definitely get into more next time, this is not a popular choice with her mentor. We'll talk about that later, but I like the fact that Buffy is making her own choices. That seems to have been a thing this season in particular.
Yeah.
Is you notice how nobody's really counseling Buffy this time? And moreover, Buffy's more of the counselor because she's playing one at the school, right, too? But she's more in charge than she ever has been on the show. And I had never noticed that before, Brian. The one time I'd watched the season before and the few episodes I'd gone back to here and there, I never really paid attention to that little movement. But that's certainly part of what's going on here, is that Buffy is much more in charge of her own life than she has been.
I agree, and I think it's a good thing. You know, if Giles is going to skip town because he believes that she's ready to be on her own, then it makes sense that she's now in charge of everything and making the decisions, and that he doesn't have as much power as he used to over her. I like it. I think it's a good way to go.
It's also the evolution of the young adult. You know,
you first
get a little freedom. You do, maybe you don't do exactly what Buffy did in season six, but you make some really bad choices. You know, and what you learn to do is not beat yourself up over it. You do what she did with him at the end of that and laugh about it a little bit. You get over it, you move on, and you learn. And next time you're wiser and you make better choices.
Yeah, and let's face it, she's, what, 22 now?
Yeah.
I mean, she's an adult, and she should be doing this on her own now. And so I like it. And I like she takes charge, because she should be the one in charge, especially with the potentials.
You know, she's 22. She could be like Taylor Swift and just, you know, dress up like a hipster and talk about boys.
Well, hey now.
That's not Buffy.
Let's not dig into Taylor. Leave Tay-Tay out of this.
Look, I'm not a Taylor hater. I like Taylor as much as you do. But well, maybe not as much as you do, but I like Taylor fine.
It feels like a perfect night to dress up like hipsters and make fun of our exes.
But anywho, well, Brian, I think we're at the point of the podcast where it's time to give our final thoughts and dustings ratings. So what are yours for Season 7, Episode 13, The Killer in Me?
Well, I like this episode. I thought it was well done. I liked the whole Willow Warren storyline that they did, minus the fact that it had to be Amy that was involved. I liked that Kennedy showed that she's willing to fight for Willow in this episode as well. I think if you're going to go down that relationship aisle, might as well start off on a good note. And that's where we're at with those two. So we'll go with it as it is. And I thought they did a good job there. I liked, you know, you may have disagreed, but I liked the whole putting Giles as a potential agent of the First and storyline. I thought it made some sense. It's nice to know that he's not. I like that part of it as well. So, and then I like the whole Spike Chip decision that they had to do. So for me, this is a three dustings episode. I enjoyed it. It was fun to watch. And as a side note, Jay, Sharon Ferguson was the person who played the Primitive.
You know, Brian, I don't disagree with you. The Buffy Spike stuff I thought was pretty good, and I like that they made Willow deal with the issues. I didn't like how they went about it with the Amy angle, and I didn't really care for the Giles misdirect angle. I was fine with them taking the potentials to the desert, but the rest of it I just didn't really bother with. And if I just grade this season by itself, with itself, I have to ask, okay, I know this is not a four dusting, so is it a three? And if it's a three, then I'm saying it's the same as, you know, potential and some of the other threes I've had. And I just don't think it's as good as those. It's not terrible by any means, but it's not as good as those episodes. So I'm going to give it a two dustings. It's a decent two dustings, but for me, it's not any stronger than that. So we'll disagree on that rating, and I'll go with two dustings. You give it a three. Folks, thanks for listening to this latest episode in The Art of Sling. You can always find the former episodes of the show at our website, theartofsling.com. You can also hook up with us on our social media, Facebook and Twitter. Which one of you should think is right since we disagree on the rating here? You know, let us know on Twitter or comment on the Facebook site. We appreciate your support. Until next time, for Brian, I'm Jay. Thanks for listening to The Art of Sling.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer is the copyright of Fox Television Studios, and any discussion of the characters, episodes, or music is strictly for entertainment purposes only.